Almighty God, we are gathered together in your presence once again to hear you speak into our lives, our situations and circumstances. Father, to hear the word of life, Jesus, even as we hear your word today, they will become realities in our lives in Jesus' name. All the spiritual gifts that are meant to ensure our success will become manifest in our lives from today in Jesus' name. We receive of you this morning, Lord. By these gifts, you will build your church. By these gifts, we will prosper. By these gifts, O Lord, you will open opportunities to us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' glorious name we pray. Amen. So, we are welcome to church once again. We have been looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's what we are looking at this morning. This is something we'll be looking at for some time now. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Number 3. Our text is taken from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As you can see, it's a very, very long reading. It's a very long reading, and I don't think we've taken time to read it. Maybe I'll read it myself just to make it fast and quick. And I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Version so we can grasp or better understand what we are talking about. From verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 12. He says, now, about the spiritual gifts, the special endowments of supernatural energy. Brethren, I do not want you to be misinformed. You know that when you were heathen, you were led off after idols that could not speak habitually, as impulse directed, and whenever the occasion might arise. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit of God can ever say, Jesus be cursed. And no one can really say, Jesus is my Lord, except by and under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. Can somebody say, Jesus is Lord? Amen. Now, there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowment, that is, gifts, extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. And they vary, but the Holy Spirit remains the same. And there are distinctive varieties of service administration, but it is the same Lord who is served. And there are distinctive varieties of operations, that is, of working to accomplish things, but it is the same God who inspires and energizes them all. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and profit. To one is given in and through the Holy Spirit the power to speak a message of wisdom. Somebody say, a message of wisdom. And to another, the power to express a word of knowledge. Say, word of knowledge. An understanding according to the same Holy Spirit. To another, wonder working faith. Somebody say, faith. By the same Holy Spirit. To another, the extraordinary power of healing by the one Spirit. Said power to heal. To another, the working of miracles. Say working of miracles. To another, prophetic insight. Say prophetic insight. The gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose. To another, the ability to discern. Somebody say discerning of spirit. It's not discernment of spirit. It's discerning of spirits. Praise the Lord. So, ability to discern and distinguish between the utterances of true spirit and false one. To another, various kinds of unknown tongues. Say unknown tongues. To another, the ability to interpret such tongues. Interpretation of tongues. Praise the Lord. How many of us speak in tongues here? Okay. How many of us don't speak in tongues as yet? Okay, you don't? Yes. Who else does not speak in tongues as yet? You don't? Two? Okay, two? Yes? Okay. By the grace of God, on April the 22nd in the evening, is a night of what? Of impartation. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit will visit you. And let me tell you, He can even visit you right now. In Jesus' name. All these gifts, achievements, abilities are inspired and brought to pass by one and the same Holy Spirit, who apportions to each person, individually, exactly as He chooses. As who chooses? As the Holy Spirit chooses. Praise God. I think I will leave it here. I thought I would read the whole thing before. I feel like leaving it here at this point, so that we can hear what God has to say. You know? So, we have read, what is different from what we have read today is that we have actually gone ahead to list these spiritual gifts. And our memory verse is taken from Acts 1:8. Can we go? Can we read it? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost part of the earth. Praise the Lord. Can we go again? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost part of the earth. Praise the Lord. We are going to go one more time. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost part of the earth. Praise the Lord. Does that include Australia? Amen. So, now that we know that God says we are going to receive power, and this power manifests in form of the gifts we are talking about once the Holy Spirit comes upon us, let's quickly examine some of these gifts. The gifts can be divided into three groups. As you can see, we have a group that we call revelational gifts. What are revelational gifts? What do you mean by revelation? Revelation is to make known something that is not ordinarily known to everyone, isn't it? To reveal, or something that was previously hidden, something that is not readily accessible. So there are some gifts that helps to make them accessible to us as children of God. In other words, what other people may not know, you will know it by reason of these gifts operating in your lives. And I like where we read that it is these gifts that distinguishes one from the other, one person from the other. It is the operation of these gifts that make you call somebody a powerful man of God, a powerful sister, a powerful brother. It is the operation of these gifts. And like we told us last week, we all need to operate in these gifts. The revelational gifts include word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. The second groups of gifts, they are referred to as gifts of inspiration or vocal gifts or speaking gifts. They are speaking gifts. Vocal means speech. They include prophecy, diverse kind of tongues. When you begin to speak in tongues or languages that you are not raised in, nor did you learn. The thing about it is that not everyone will understand what they are saying. But how be it, we communicate with the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. So, and then interpretation of these tongues. Then, the third groups of gifts are the gifts that are referred to as power or working gifts. Power gifts or working gifts. Student of physics, what is power? I want to know how many of us can remember our physics. How many of us did physics before? Okay, so what is power? Okay. Eh? Yes, it's a force. Yes, there are many forces, but they are not power. Okay, let me define it, put it crudely. From physics, power is the ability to do work. The ability to do what? To do work. That's power. Power that is random. I mean, force that is random. Eh? It's not power. Because it's not doing something good. So there are spiritual gifts that are working gifts. They do work in the kingdom. For example, faith works. Amen? So, don't we know that faith works? Praise the Lord. It is by faith that God calls those things that be not as though they were. Eh? The gifts of healing. That is what changes somebody's health situation. And then working of miracles. So these are working gifts, power gifts. So we are going to focus on revelational gifts today. In fact, when you look at most of these gifts we are talking about, they are gifts that people, even in the Old Testament, manifested in their lives. I've told us the difference between us and the people in the Old Testament is that we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit inside of us. If we do not grieve Him and He hasn't left us, He dwells with us. In those days, He used to come and visit people. The Spirit of God will be upon them for that period, for specific assignment. And once they finish the assignment, He's gone. But you and I, we have Him as our friend. So He should be our ally, our partner. And I want you to take note of what I wrote there. Say, God expects that we continue to use them, these gifts, in our time, to the benefit of the body of Christ. It is because we are not willing to pay the price. We no longer stay in the presence of God, pray, live holy. When they say don't lie, we will lie. When they say live holy, we will not live holy. Once we come to a point where our desire is to please God, God will then be able to trust us with the things of heaven, and these gifts will become manifest in our lives. Let me tell you something. Many of us shortchange ourselves. Even if I don't finish today, I'm happy. We can continue next week. But what I want to tell you is this. Many of us shortchange ourselves through the way we live. What do I mean by we shortchange ourselves? We look at the immediate inconvenience. We look at the immediate gain sometimes. And as a result, we don't do what we are supposed to do. When you go beyond that and stop looking at the inconvenience of doing what God has asked you to do, let me tell you something. Some of the things we are running after, when God chooses to bless you, it will be far greater than what you have right now that you are trying to keep. I'm telling you. Last week, this week just gone, we had the opportunity of meeting a man of God. First, we went to a meeting with about 55 pastors. And then they said there was another meeting, so we went to that meeting with them. This man of God came to Australia. He just knew somebody. He got invited into a small fellowship. He realized that there was a need in that fellowship, in that ministry, that day. He had $1,000 in his pocket. Of course, his ticket was already paid for and what have you. He put down the $1,000. He gave it to that ministry. Before he left, somebody gave $65,000. The lady who is organizing to have this man of God come to Australia, she was here one time, if you may not remember her. She came here one time. She was just telling us how God had just provided a house of 1.9 $1 million for her. And I know she's got two houses at least that I knew before. Paid for. The reason I'm sharing with us is that it's also happening in Australia. Except we live by faith, we cannot reap the fruit of faith. No matter how much we talk it, except we actually start to live that life. But one thing I can assure us is that when we choose to live that life, what God will release to us will be far greater than some of the things we think we already have. And it is through these gifts that God will deposit in your lives. For example, one of the revelational gifts is the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom confers supernatural revelation or insight into divine will and purpose, showing how to solve problems that may arise. It can be safely said that this gift is over and above the wisdom that every child of God is expected to have by reason of the Holy Spirit in their lives. It helps to reveal the mind of God for a specific, special, and complex situation. Now, what we are saying is this: by reason of the fact that you have the Holy Spirit, there is a level of wisdom, godly wisdom, that is in you. But over and above that, some people have the gift of the word of wisdom in their lives. And we can have it in our lives too. What happens is this: when you have this gift in your life, you come to a point where when a situation arises, you speak the mind of God and the purpose of God as regard that situation, that no one that will provide solution to it. Let me tell you something. Many a times we say, oh, some people, they are worshiping, you know, they worship man, they want to worship beginning. Do you know the reason why they follow people? Why they will follow such people? It's because there's a demonstration of that gift. When somebody tells you that what is happening in your life, this is the solution to it, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and you find it to be so, when next he speaks, you will do what he tells you. I know there are some people who are too wise, so even if they know if the Holy Spirit is using you to minister to them, they will still go their own way. But and every child of God who knows and recognizes that power in their lives. And you can give, let me give you many examples. Can we look at a few examples in the Bible where somebody demonstrated that gift, the word of wisdom in their lives? Can we quickly name one or two people that proffered solution to complex situations, helpless situations? Solomon was one person. Yes, any other person? Okay. Yeah, Peter. I want another very concrete ones. What about Joseph? Another person. What about Daniel? Yes, Esther. When there, but it's not like revealing what is going to be and say this is the solution. Joseph, yes, told them, look, there's going to be famine. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. This is what you do. Word of wisdom. What happened? He became the prime minister. So, in other words, when you serve God, I tell you something, you stand to profit from serving him and having these gifts manifest in your lives. You cannot tell somebody something like that. You know? And I will tell you, look, my wife will tell you, there are times when God has moved me, and I will tell her, and I said, this is what God says he's going to do, and this is what God is going to do in this situation. And you mark it, it will happen. the gifts of the word of wisdom. It's over and above the usual wisdom that a child of God should have. He said, this gift was in operation when Solomon in 1 Kings had to solve the problem between those two women. How could you have known who the mother was? Not in the day of DNA testing. Praise the Lord. Now, I always say something to people. And what I say to people is this. I tell them, I say, look, even if the lady who eventually got the child was not the biological mother, are you listening? Even if she was not the biological mother, she was a mother. Praise the Lord. Because she did not want that child to be destroyed. I will share one story with you. Just my wife and of course the Holy Spirit know this. When the crisis in the church was coming to a head, when I saw that there was going to be crisis, where is my wife? I told her, I said, please, I'm going to leave the church. The reason I want to leave is that I don't want to see what God has done destroyed. That anything that will destroy what God has done, I said, I would rather go and let God take control. And within one week, that was when what happened. You have to be a mother indeed for God to entrust great things into your if you are at the point of always thinking about yourself and not be able to see the big picture, God will never entrust things to you. That woman saw the big picture. I'm sure she said to herself, what does my right matter? If it means that this child is going to be split into two, at least this child can live, she can have it. Another person who demonstrated that was Abraham. Remember, when he and Lot quarreled, just say, you know, you can take. So, the word of wisdom will make you speak the mind of God and proffer solutions. It was the same gift that saved the life of little Jesus in Matthew chapter 2, verse 20. Somebody said, let's take the child to Egypt. And so Jesus went to where? To Egypt. When the king was looking for the child to kill. And of course, Jesus returned after the king was dead. And that's why I keep telling people that when we serve God, we must serve God willingly. Why? I said, look, if the blood of Jesus is all that is required, if the blood of Jesus is all that was necessary to save us, there was no need to have taken Jesus to Egypt. They could have allowed King Herod to kill him there and then and still shed his blood. But God wanted him to mature, die. That's why Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. You know? So they hid him. Oh, can you imagine? You have to hide somebody for 33 years only, and you know he's going to die at the end of the day. Why waste your time? So if they are going to die, he had to wait until he decided. Praise the Lord. The word of wisdom. And there are many other instances like that. Paul also spoke to the people when the ship was in turmoil. And Paul said, look, brethren, There will be no loss of life. This ship is going to be wrecked. This is what's going to happen. Only just do this. And when they did that, was there any loss of life? There was no loss of life. Everybody made it ashore. God will give you the word of wisdom. That gift, it will work for you in Jesus' name. The word of knowledge, it's similar to this, but it's a kind of supernatural knowledge and awareness, or the know, the insight into the divine mind and will and plan of God. It's not something that you can ordinarily know or naturally know. No. For example, who could have known the account of creation if not for that word of knowledge that God had given to Moses? So if you look at it, look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, 7 to 15. Samuel knew what was going to happen to the family of Eli. He was a little boy. He had never heard God speak before. That's the word of knowledge. One very interesting story is in 2 Kings 6, verse 8 to 12. Can somebody quickly open 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 to 12? Somebody to please quickly read. This is the word of knowledge. We should have opened it now. Can somebody quickly read? Servant saying,
And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God took him, and won him off, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servant and said unto them, Will ye not show me which of
God? The Holy Spirit will betray your enemy in Jesus' name. You know, to wage war against Israel. The Bible said not once, not twice, that he planned. And as he plans, the man of God will send to the king and say, look, don't take the troop to that place, because that is where the enemy is going to encamp. And truly, when they listen and they go, they find out that that's where they encamp. A time came when the king of Syria became depressed. He became depressed. And of course, he had to search his troop. He said, who amongst you is the one going to tell this Israelite? Who among you is the spy here? Who among you is Julia Shan? What's her name? WikiLeaks. Who is working for WikiLeaks among you? How come they know? And they are avoiding us. The Spirit of God will reveal great things to you in Jesus' name. And there's place for the operation of these gifts also in the church right now, even in your lives. It's just that some people have abused it. If not, as a child of God, as a servant of God, when you walk with God, God can speak to you and say, look, tell that sister, don't travel. Postpone it. You are not doing it for money. Unfortunately, some people do it for money. That's where things get confused. They postpone it. God said, this is not the time. Ideally, it should be such that when the Spirit is operating, that's why it's for the building of the church. And you say it, if somebody does not do it the repercussion will come. Because the Bible says, how do you know a false prophet? He said, when what he says does not come to pass. That's how you know a false prophet. When you speak it with the backing of the Holy Spirit, it will happen. Praise the Lord. And there are many instances like that. Jesus used this gift a lot. He used this gift a lot. I think we'll leave it at this. And by the grace of God, we'll just finish discerning of spirit next week. Because I really want to talk about discerning of spirit, which is something we no longer operate in. What do I mean? These days, once the word, what the person is saying is logical, it makes sense, it's popular, it sits with what we want to, what we feel like, we go for it. Please, we need the gift of discerning of spirits. It's very important. We cannot walk without it. We'll talk about it next week. Do we have any questions? We are talking about revelational gifts today. Remember, there are three groups: revelational gifts, gifts of inspiration or vocal gifts, power or working gifts. Okay, please, can we just rise up and pray? And say, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your word this morning. We thank you because you have spoken to us. We know you want to raise prophets, pastors, evangelists. You want to raise powerful men and women of God, even in this church. That is why you are speaking these words to us this morning. So I want you to pray to God, because there is only one thing that the Bible said we should covet. The Bible says, covet these gifts. It's there. It says, covet these gifts. So tell God, say, Father, I covet these gifts. I desire them. I want to operate in them. Send them into my life. Send these gifts into my life. Lord, create an awareness within me. Send these wonderful gifts into my life. I covet them. I desire them. I need them for effectiveness. Send these gifts into my ministry. Send these gifts into my life. Send these gifts my way. Send these gifts, oh Lord, unto me. Lord, I want to operate in these gifts. I don't want to be an ordinary Christian. I want to be a power-packed, effective Christian. I want to be a Christian that can work your work. Indeed, I need the instrument that will help me to do this. Send these gifts into my lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.